We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. The zombie apocalypse is imminent. Could you survive? You'll have a better chance after completing Geek Nation Tours Zombie Apocalypse Training 101. Learn to fire weapons, scrounge for food, and actually run from zombies. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Talk fantasy football. It is week 8 of the NFL season. I am Mo.
And I'm Brett.
And we got another fun little quick show here for you this week that we're going to open up once again with our picks of the week. Then we'll go through our top performers of picks. And then we're going to do probably talk a little bit about kind of just complaints and grievances on a few things out there. So we'll be doing that. And why not? People love it when we can hear his pitch that we found. We're going to open this up with tonight's pick between the Dolphins and the Patriots. Tough game to pick, even though the Patriots are 6-0 against a 3-3 team. The biggest thing about this is not only is this game a tough pick, because there's a lot of tough games actually to pick this week. A lot of teams of equal level playing each other, but the biggest thing about this one is how do you approach the fantasy players in these games? Like, how much do you trust, you know, a Tannehill, Miller, Landry, and who is it from the Patriots that's going to be the guy to step up? Because let's face it, every week it can be somebody different.
Well, I do think that Deion Lewis is going to be a pretty decent pick for the Patriots this game. And you know, overall, in fairness, if I'm going to pick a winner, which I am, I'm going to pick the Patriots because it's in Foxborough, so I think that the Patriots in Foxborough are great. They don't lose very much there. And the Miami Dolphins, as spectacular as they have looked since Dan Campbell took over as the head coach, at a certain point, they're just gonna come up against a better team, and I think that this case they're gonna come up against a better team.
I think they can ride this wave with the coach change for a while, though. I mean, it does have a limited life shelf. I think he'll be exposed eventually as a coach, but I don't know that it's gonna happen this week. I'm not gonna pick the upset because this is a Patriots team that has an outside shot, I think, to go undefeated for the season again. So I won't pick against them, but I am going to pick the Patriots. But yeah, it's a tough one. Now, as far as the Dolphins players, what are you thinking about Tannehill?
Oh, you know, I this is one of those cases where I really need to look into the stats and the strength of schedule to see how many points the Patriots typically give up.
Well, for the season, they're one of the worst, right, as a matter of fact, against the quarterback. So it appears to be a plus matchup. That's a lot of garbage time. We know that that people score against the Patriots. They have improved of recent weeks.
I would go so far as to say, Tannehill will be a fine option if you don't have anything better. But I think that if you were to have another quarterback who has a plus matchup, like even a Matt Ryan going up against Tampa Bay, if you have a guy like that who's got a plus matchup, then I would probably play him over Tannehill.
If you look at the last 3 weeks, it's only a very slight, like it's a pretty much a dead even matchup as far as middle of the pack to score against the Patriots. So you probably expect Tannehill to score slightly less than his average, I would guess, this week, which is still pretty good.
It's still pretty good. So, I mean, it's not like he's going to be a bad start, more than likely, but he may not be the start that you're expecting.
Yeah, don't expect last week's numbers.
Yeah.
Lions and Chiefs, and this one is taking place in London. I'm sick of these London games, personally. They throw off my scheduling and things. And it's weird also. I mean, the home team doesn't really have that home field advantage. On the other hand, this is tough. These are two teams that that are the records are exactly where you would think they would be. You know, to put it no other way, like these are two teams. I'm not sitting there going, well, they're better than their record or they're worse than their record. These are two teams that are can occasionally win, but they're not necessarily great teams. 1-6 against 2-5.
Well, in fairness, it's hard to be worse than your record in when you're 1-6.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a really tough game because the Chiefs did win last week, and the Lions basically cleaned house this week in their coaching staff in a lot of ways. At the end of the day, my heart says Stafford's a better quarterback than Alex Smith, but and both of them have a similar thing where you don't know about the consistency. I mean, I'm looking at the game changers on the two teams, and I'm thinking the Lions have the advantage there, but not by much. I don't know. It's basically this is a gut feel, isn't it?
You know what? In fairness, to me, the Chiefs don't even really enter into the equation. I actually think, especially with the hiring of Jim Bob Cooter as their offensive coordinator in this case, I think the Lions are going to come out, and I think they're going to throw the football, and they're going to do their damnedest to score as many points as humanly possible. And when the Lions are on, they can score a lot of points.
They can score a lot of points, and you know what? I did forget about Cooter. They do have Cooter there now.
That's
and,
right.
You know, I'm a big fan of Cooter, actually. Not actually familiar with Cooter as much as I'd like to be, but still a fan of Cooter. And best name, Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob.
Is the best name in the NFL. So you're right, we're going to go with the Lions as the pick. And what about then Golden Tate and Theo Riddicker, Hebron, some of those lesser lights, do you think then they're nice plays?
Golden Tate could wind up being okay. He's had a little bit of complaining that he's been doing of late, so maybe in this case the squeaky wheel will get some of the grease. But I think that Calvin Johnson's going to be the big guy in this one.
Okay, we're going to use my list, not your list, I think here, just because it's easier. Because I'm making our picks on the NFL at the same time, and we both have different lists here. But we got the Giants 4-3 going against the Saints 3-4. So you have a start and stop team in the Giants and a streaking team in the Saints. I got to go Saints.
Oh, yeah, I got to go Saints. I mean, it's going to be really interesting. Like, the Saints secondary is actually pretty god-awful. But at the same time, you know, the Giants have looked so average over the last couple of games, yet they've still managed to win. But Drew Brees
Well, they've won two of the last three.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I said, they're a start-and-stop team. This seems like their off week.
Yep, and, you know, Drew Brees has been picking it up again in the last little while. So
is the run game,
and that's
been a big deal. One of the problems, I think, for the Saints was they were lacking that identity, and now they're starting to find it. I think everybody's hoping Kerry Robinson doesn't continue to vulture touchdowns in fantasy because you can't trust him enough to play at this point, and yet he hurts Ingram.
Yeah, he's available. Kerry Robinson is available on all of the waiver wires, pretty much.
Yeah,
but the problem being
he has good stats, but you don't trust him.
Yeah, he'll be there, and he'll be missing for like two or three games. So.
Yeah, exactly. And then he'll have a couple touchdowns, and that just skews stats so much. The thing about the Giants here is that Eli has been at a points per game average. He's not even a QB1, which is a huge disappointment this year. Part of that's because guys have stepped up, but part of that is simply that he's a disappointment. Everybody would think that this is a good matchup for him. Truthfully, I kind of look at this and I think it's a bad matchup for Eli. I don't like if you're looking to start him and you have two guys at the same level as him, and you're looking at him, and you say to yourself, and this is just a gut feeling, because this isn't necessarily even what the stats are saying. It's more just Eli being Eli and the fact that this should be their off week. If you're looking at two guys that are even, and you normally would look at the Saints and go, well, great matchup for Eli, I'm going to go with him over the other guy, this might be the time when you do a George Costanza and do the opposite.
Yeah, he's kind of on the same level as Ryan Tannehill in this case. Then, yeah, I do think the Saints are going to win. Although it could be a good day for the Giants wide receivers.
That's very possible. Another day that where Randall might be a sneaky little play.
But at the same time, I'm not touching a Giants running back. Period.
No, absolutely not. We got the Cardinals and the Browns. Cardinals are, you know, there's no reason to not go again and think Palmer. You know, Palmer, Brown, Fitzgerald, and I don't know about
Brown is out. So.
Brown is out. Well, that's a shame. That's a shame. Well, then Floyd, just slot him right in there, and you're fine. Yeah, no reason to think that they won't have a good game. No reason to think that they won't win, and no reason to think that CJK 2 or whatever the hell is in there, whatever they go by with him there. Chris Johnson. Yeah, there's no reason to think that he won't have another solid game.
I think the truth of the matter is that the Cardinals were a little lucky last week, but at the same time, there was no reason that the Ravens should have even gotten that close. But the Cardinals took the foot off the gas, Bruce Arians made some poor decisions, and they did. But the truth is, against the Browns, and especially because Johnny Manziel could be starting this game, and so I gotta say that the Cardinals seem like I don't think they're gonna let the Browns get back into the game if they get out of it.
And the thing is, Manziel has been showing some of his jackass tendencies once again, and that's worrisome. That is worrisome. I know he's motivated on the field. I know he likes to win. I know he's a competitor, but I know he's showing some of those questionable things again, and certainly an off any sort of domestic violence reports off field. And being at a bar drinking again, that's not a good sign. So,
but this could be another good game for Gary Barnage, especially in garbage time. And again, not
Benjamin. I mean, you want Benjamin. Yeah. I mean, if the one thing that Manziel will excel at doing, throw that deep ball to him. So we're looking now at the 49ers and the Rams. You got a 2-5 team and a 3-3 team. Everything seems to be pointing towards the Rams. The only problem is, every time you think the Rams are going to win, that's when they lose. Every time you think the Niners are locked to lose, they'll pull one out.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners have surprised twice. Well, really twice. I mean, because they're not a good team, and that's the ultimate thing. But they do manage to put it together here and there every now and then. I don't think this is going to be the one. The Rams are at home. If they were at Candlestick, then I might, or the wherever the hell they play now.
Yeah, something stadium. I don't know. I was there for WrestleMania.
Levi's
Stadium. I was there for WrestleMania. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Awful stadium. But, I mean, nice looking, but to get on the field was a pain in the ass.
But the truth is that, you know, the Rams are at home and their defense is just so good. Carlos Hyde is dealing with a stress fracture in his foot. I mean, how easy is that for a running back to carry around?
Do you think the Bush then might be worth a flyer?
No. Because at this point, I don't trust their offense, pretty much, period. Every one of their offensive players has been up, down, 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 up, down, down. Yeah.
It's one of those things where, I mean, both of the stats for both teams don't say that either, that anybody's really a really terribly negative play. Here's the thing about this. If you have Gurley, obviously you never say Gurley.
Gurley's got to be one of the plays of the week because he could rumble over them.
He appears matchup proof at this point. So yeah. Gurley and the Rams D. Those are the only fantasy players I would look at in this game.
Absolutely, but both of those are so strong,
very strong. Buccaneers and the Falcons, 2-4, 6-1. How do you pick against the Falcons here?
Falcons are getting back into the win column here.
They got back into it last week,
sure.
Apparently.
But they're staying.
But this week, you mean they get back in the win column with a big win instead of a 10-7 win.
Yeah, I think that they managed an actual win in this case. I think that Jameis Winston managed to not throw an interception the last game, which was a little surprising. But I don't think that's going to happen twice in a row. And so I do believe that the Falcons' defense are going to be pretty good. The Buccaneers are okay, but they've lost a lot of offensive talent to injuries this week. And so I do expect the Falcons to be in a very good place.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're comfortable playing Martin if he's your RB 2 or 3. Evans, I think you're comfortable playing him as a wide receiver 2 or 3. But there's not much else you'd look at from them. Meanwhile, the Falcons, not only do you pick them, I think you can play them across the board. Even guys like Hankerson and Roddy White, who I know Hankerson's even more than Roddy White, who I know is on a waiver wire in a couple of our leagues, and I would talk to you about picking him up in those places where you don't have wide receiver depth. I think we should look at grabbing him, even though he's not, I'm not sure he's going to be great pass this week, but I think this week he's a terrific play. Even a Tammy, I think, would be a great place. Of course, Freeman.
Ryan. I mean, even their defense. Like, I just think across the board, you know, kicker, everything. I think you could. I think you can play the Falcons with 100% confidence.
And Julio Jones, of course.
Huh.
Top player.
That was without saying. Yes. That's against. I would play him against. I would even put him against Denver, barely, but I would.
But here's the thing. I'm saying if we're picking, you know, the top players for the other thing, Julio Jones, you know, we'll mention him for that reason.
Absolutely, absolutely. Julio Jones and Freeman probably will get mentioned too.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Vikings and Bears.
This one to me is really hard. Like the Bears are coming on a little bit, and Jay Cutler has actually looked like he has the semblance of a quarterback of late.
He's actually even been showing some leadership skills, which is really surprising.
Which is really crazy.
We got a 4-2 team, but the Vikings are not a good road team. The Bears, I mean, I think we should go with the Bears in the upset here. And I do consider it an upset, but
yeah, I do
but
as well.
I would go with them here.
The Vikings are lucky that that the Detroit Lions were inept last week.
Yeah.
Because otherwise the Vikings wouldn't have won that game. And I think that when you look at it, the Chicago Bears, you know, I do think they're the sneaky play, but I like the Bears to win.
Yeah, I like the Bears to win as well. Here is a really interesting game. Bengals 6-0. Steelers 4-3. Big Ben likely on the field, but his leg is still hurt. This is one. I mean, I still like this Bengals team, and coming off the bye, I do think you have to favor them. I don't like to bet against Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, he's a terrific player, but really, what I like is, I mean, I love Antonio Brown now this week. But I still prefer the Bengals as a team.
Oh, I mean, the Bengals are 6-0, and until the Bengals show me that they're not a 6-0 team, and this is crazy for me to say, but you know, I think they're a really good team right now.
Yeah, I said it before. I think that it's going to be the AFC. I've been saying this since I think week two. The AFC, I think, will come down to them and the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
And, you know, so as long as they keep playing like they are, I don't know which running back is the best play. I don't know if it's Jeremy Hill, if he's likely to get a touchdown. I don't know if it's Gio Bernard, because he's going to get 10 passes, because it's going to be
I think they'll spread it around, but I think they'll spread it around, but I think Dalton will be a really strong play. Start him with confidence as a QB1, and Antonio Brown will be terrific. Le'Veon Bell, you always play, though I wouldn't expect him to be lights out this game.
No, I do expect. I think this has a lot of the earmarks of being a high scoring game, and I think from a fantasy perspective, that's what we have to hope for.
That's the more important thing. To talk about the epitome of a pick'em, the 2-5 Chargers and the 1-6 Ravens.
Wow, both teams are shockingly not good.
Yeah,
but in fairness, you know, I'm going with the Chargers just because the Ravens keep finding ways to lose.
I'm going with the Ravens myself. And not only, but I mean, I look at the Chargers, I go, wow, I want to play all their players in fantasy.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. Well, yeah, I mean, Woodhead at running back.
Woodhead's
you
great.
Know, Rivers.
Yeah. Not, I mean, not Gordon, of course, but I mean.
No, not Gordon, no, but Woodhead, you know, Rivers, obviously. You know, in both Green and Gates still. Like, I mean, I still look at this team.
Keenan Allen,
for sure. Like, I look at this team, I'm like, oh, yeah. Is Stevie Johnson back? I think he is.
Oh, maybe he is.
I think he is. You know, I mean, I would even consider playing him if you need a something off the board. Like, I really like them, and yet I'm not picking them to lose. So who's going to be the guy on the other side? Well, I think Flacco will have a big game. Forsett should be strong, solid. I mean, if you have him, look at him as an RB2, low-end RB2. Or high end three, you know, flex position play.
Can't bet against Steve Smith right now.
Steve Smith, and I also think Crockett Gilmore is a nice play this week.
But none of the defenses are.
No, I would not do that. Well, here's one with some defenses that are very interesting. because one was supposed to be really good, another one has actually played not as bad as you'd think. On the other hand, the Titans are 1-5, and the Texans are 2-5.
I can't believe that the Texans have more wins than the Titans.
I know. I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, that is that's interesting.
Because the Texans, when they lose, they get hammered.
Yeah. And you know what? This is very difficult because I think that if Mariota comes back, then I think that the Titans have a good chance because the Texans are just overall as a team they're in complete limbo. I mean, J.J. Watt's missed a couple of practice, so there's a question of even whether or not he will play, and you know now missing Arian Foster. I mean, they're going to have to go pass heavy pretty much, period. And the Titans are surprisingly tough on defense, but this is just a battle of two, you know, league bottom teams. And you know what? My gut says Texans.
My gut says Titans. And again, it's a gut thing. I just look at the Titans and I think, I mean, the problem is just pick a running back. Just pick one and go with them. Please, just pick a running back.
Well, now they get David Cobb coming back.
I know. Just further muddying things. Pick a running back. But either way, if Mariota plays, I think he'll have nice stats. I like Kendall Wright a lot this game in the slot. I think he's going to be deadly. And on the other side, I mean, I would not play Hoyer, though he's not. You could probably do worse. Nuke Hopkins.
Yep.
Drop the bomb. He's going to be. He'll be great.
Yeah, he'll be good. But Blue is not going to be good.
No, this is not a fantasy relevant game. This is a fantasy relevant game. You got the 4-2 Jets at the 3-3 Raiders. Raiders, if they play like they started off last week, they could pull the upset here. Though I think you have to favor the Jets.
Yeah, you probably do, just because the defense is so good on the Jets. And, you know, Fitzpatrick is good enough to get the job done. But, you know, Carr has really shown so much this year. He has been eye-opening.
And Cooper, there's a guy.
And Cooper, absolutely.
You know, that's really been terrific.
Like, the two of those guys could for sure anchor that Raiders offense for years to come, and should anchor that Raiders offense for years to come. But overall, yeah, I mean, you know, my gut is telling me the Raiders, but the head has to go with the Jets.
And the thing is, the Jets defense, we talk about how good they are, and you talk about Cooper. This is not the week for Cooper, because I'm guessing he'll see a lot of Revis Island.
Yep.
And, you know, and how will that affect Carr? Then again, they've surprised multiple times this season. So, but
Marshall, you know, Marshall is going to be great.
Decker, you can start Decker still. Yeah, and Ivory. I mean, the core players, the players you play with the Jets will be those players. I mean, you know who their offense is going to give you. It's going to be those three guys. But those three guys you can count on.
But sneaky play would be Michael Crabtree for the Raiders. I bet you that he could sneak in there and catch about like 7 or 8 balls just in those short routes.
That's very possible. Cowboys are 2-4 and they're hosting this 3-4 Seahawks. Wow. Considering how poorly Castle played, you can't see them doing any better this week. I almost think they're better off going back to Whedon, put it that way.
I have, in this case, other than the fact that that anything could happen, I would put this as a 99% chance that Seattle comes away with the victory in this
game. Yeah, in fact, I would probably use this as my survivor pick if you still have Seattle, and hopefully you do, so otherwise you've been burned 4 times. but yeah, I mean, I think the Seahawks, and Graham, Wilson, Lynch, I even think Rawls could get in there and do some garbage time stuff. Like, I think this is a really good...
I think that number one pick is the Seattle defense.
Oh, yeah, they'll be tremendous.
Like, that
is going to be... That's probably the defense of the week.
I mean, you know, McFadden is going to get a vast majority
of... He's not good, but he did last week. In fact, part of my problem with the Cowboys is I don't know week to week who it's going to be now.
Well, I do now. I mean, they've announced that McFadden is the starting quarterback.
That doesn't mean anything. Or running back. That doesn't mean a damn thing, though.
And Randall's going to miss time. So.
Yeah, that still doesn't mean anything. They've announced it, and you know what? When he runs 5 times for 7 yards, they'll make a change in the middle of the game or whatever. I don't trust coach speak, and this all sounds like coach speak to me. Now you got an awesome Sunday night game. Packers and Broncos, 2-6-0 teams. Somebody's O has got to go, as the expression says.
Wow, that's lame.
I look at them. I think the Broncos are lucky to be 6-0. I think the Packers are probably a little overrated at 6-0 as well. I don't like them as much as say I like a 6-0 team like the Bengals. Boy, it's
Broncos are at home. Their defense is so good. The intangibles for me still say Packers, though, on the road.
I just think that Aaron Rodgers finds ways to win. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is going to do Sunday night. He's going to find a way to get past the Broncos defense. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. You know what? And in fairness, I don't think other than I think you can use both the defenses to a certain degree.
But
I wouldn't even touch many of the offensive skill players because I think this has the potential to be like a 14-10 game.
Oh, I totally agree. I think you play both defenses. I think you still play Rodgers. Obviously, you have him.
Yeah.
I think you still play him. You expect, you know, something like 250 yards and two TDs, you know, because they probably won't run for one. But, I mean, as far as, you know, I don't think Jones, Cobb, any of these guys, Lacy, start. Like, there's nobody I start on that offense this week if I have another option. Nobody.
No.
And on the other side, the difference between the two teams is one's a quarterback that will find you a way to win, and the other team's a team that's winning despite their quarterback. And, you can't trust Peyton. Hopefully the week off has helped them. But I think you got to go Packers, and I think you got to avoid everybody.
Yeah.
Largely. You know,
if you can.
Other than Rodgers and the defenses. Final game. This might be the other. This should be a lock. But the Panthers are bound to lose sooner or later. 6-0. Indianapolis 3-4. Indianapolis, at some point in time, you have to say, yeah, they are as bad as they've looked. They're one of those teams that you kept them going, they're better than they've looked. No, I guess they're not.
I'm waiting for the shoe to drop because, like the thing
both
is.
Both of these teams.
Yeah, on both of these teams, no question about it. But for the Colts, what I'm really waiting for, I'm waiting for the game that the Indianapolis Colts lose that everybody says, seriously, you lost that game, and Pagano finally just gets his walking papers.
Yeah.
Because at this point, that's what the Colts are. That we're just waiting for Chuck Pagano to get fired. And they're that team.
They are that team. And that's why you have to go with the Panthers. The problem is I know the Panthers are not going to finish this season undefeated. So when's it going to come? When's it going to come? Is this the week on Monday night at home that it comes? I don't think so. Would I be 100% surprised, though? No, I would
not at all. I like the Panthers because they are at home, because they are undefeated, because I think the Colts are not that good. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions in this.
There absolutely is. So we're going to look at some of the best players, some of the top performers we're picking for the week. We have
a lot of Falcons.
Well, yeah, the Falcons are definitely one of the teams that we're definitely going to be looking at quite a bit. I think, like I say, I mean, you're looking at quarterback. I mean, Matt Ryan is definitely got to be one of the top choices. Obviously, I think you still have to think Tom Brady has a great chance tonight to be just tremendous.
Philip Rivers could be.
Well, I like Dalton.
Fabulous. Yeah, Dalton.
I like Dalton. I like Wilson this week. Yep. Cam Newton, I like this week. So it's kind of a difficult. It's kind of a difficult week to nail down which guy because there's a lot of quarterbacks I like.
In fairness,
I like Flacco even this week.
Oh, for sure. Just as and Stafford could be great, but just as an overall like safe pick, who I think is going to do well no matter what, I would have to go with it. Dalton.
Okay, well, Tom Brady is the top pick at 39.3% of the time. The next pick at 19% is Philip Rivers, and then Dalton at just under 8%, and Cam Newton just under 8%. Are next, and Carson Palmer's not far behind that either. You got your Matt Ryan and your Drew Brees, your Big Ben even, Russell Wilson, Tannehill, these guys are way down. Stafford, Andrew Luck is below Stafford, just above Teddy Bridgewater, being picked less than a half a percentage point. Like, a terrible fall. I am totally safe with going with Dalton here, and we're going to pick him. Then we're looking at our RBs. Devontae Freeman is the top pick almost 60% of the time, and Todd Gurley is the other one. I definitely agree with Gurley on this one.
Yep.
Not that I don't like Freeman. I like him a lot, but I'll probably look for some other player that could be a surprise here. Peterson's popular. Chris Johnson is popular. Le'Veon Bell, of course. Marshawn Lynch, Chris Ivory, Matt Forte, Doug Martin, and Justin Forsett are other picks. And so is Mark Ingram.
and even Lamar Miller. So these are the guys that kind of people are thinking of, but I mean, the vast majority is going with these guys. I look to my, I like Lynch a lot here, but I kind of lean towards Forte.
Forte was going to be the guy that I was going to mention. If we're going to go with a low guy, because I love Devontae Freeman, if we're going to go with a guy just to try to hope to get that small percent.
Exactly. That if you're
Forte
the one who, if you outpick Freeman whenever people are picking 60% of the time, you're in great shape. So Gurley's the lock, and Forte's kind of the flyer that I like this week. So we're going to go with him. I think he'll be the linchpin of their offense this week against the Vikings. Wide receivers.
Well,
this is again Julio Jones.
Yep.
He is the number one pick, and DeAndre Hopkins is the number two. Then Beckham, Keenan Allen, Antonio Brown. I feel safe going back on the Antonio Brown train this week. Calvin Johnson, AJ Green, they look great. Julia Edelman has been really solid.
I would have to, for a guy who's lower down, I would actually jump on Calvin Johnson in this case.
See, I would go, if I was to go, I'd go Antonio Brown here. And then as a little bit further down, the guy to jump on for me is Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall, I also think, is a very good play.
So let's go with Brandon Marshall, and then we're going to decide between Brown and basically it's going to be Antonio Brown or Calvin Johnson. You know what? Let's go Calvin Johnson. It's because we haven't really.
Yeah.
And he is Calvin Johnson. Not the Calvin Johnson of old, but he is Calvin Johnson.
All right. Tight end's locked.
Yeah. We know if the tight end is Gronk.
Yep.
There's some great
plays. Although I do think that Greg Olsen's going to be fine.
Oh, there's some great plays this week at tight end. But regardless of that, Barney's like you had already mentioned earlier, but regardless of that, Gronk is always our tight end because he's the guy I was talking to you about. I'm like, man, we should have sold out everything to get him a couple times because we actually don't own him, and that sucks.
True dat.
Kicker? Anybody stand out for you?
I'd
probably just go Bryant myself.
Yeah, Bryant, because I expect a fairly high-scoring game over there. You know, Hauschka as well could be good.
Hauschka, actually, let's go Hauschka because he's tremendously... that's great. That's a great play. Hauschka here this week. And defense, we already said
Seahawks.
We're thinking Seahawks. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm just looking at the stats here. Hauschka at 14% of the time. Gostkowski is the number one pick in that one. And the number one pick for defense is the Rams and then the Cardinals. And that is not a bad pick, the Cardinals with Manziel.
Nope.
But the
Seahawks
are number three.
Are down, then I like it.
Seahawks are number three, so we're going to go with that. I got a couple little complaints I want to just get to here. And that's one of the things that I was listening on the Sirius NFL radio, and they were telling people how this next year, they're talking about how it used to be like 11 or 12 players would go in the first round to be running backs, and then it would be, you know, this year it was like six, and next year it should be two. They were saying it should only be Gurley and Freeman, forgetting even about Le'Veon Bell. And I think that's poor advice for people. I know that you've probably had some trouble with your running backs. You should be winning despite that if you've been smart and diligent. I watched Moneyball last night. I don't know if you've seen that movie. But basically in it, Billy Bean is looking to replace three all-star players that left the Oakland A's. And he does it instead of looking to replace the players, to replace the production. And I look at it the same way. This is the same idea as we have always when we're talking about streaming. Who cares about the player? The player is less important. The matchup is what you're going with. And so I think when people are telling people to avoid the running backs, I mean, I think you want to have the options at running back and get a whole bunch of them when other people are looking without anybody. So that's a complaint from me.
Well, the thing is that the running backs are all, we've already established that running backs are extremely hard. Just look at the New York Giants. Just look at, you know, the San Francisco 49ers, the Saints, you know, any number of teams here that, you know, even like Mark Ingram was expected to be good, but he's like not as good as many expect. But the truth is that running backs have so much value because when I can go through and name half of the teams in the NFL that have questionable running back situations, then I know that the ones that are not questionable are way more valuable.
And I know you might miss, and you'd be upset if you missed, and you drafted a guy like Peterson is not worth where he's being drafted. If you draft a Charles, if you draft a Murray, I know you, and your Hill, whatever, I know you'd be disappointed. The truth is, though, the more of those guys you have, the more likely you're going to be have one or two solid ones, which is going to give you a huge edge over the other guys.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about trading in fantasy leagues. There's a lot of complaints to have here, but what are some of your biggest complaints?
My biggest complaint is that people seem to really struggle to make trades that are not thoroughly one-sided. Like, I'm perfectly open to making a trade. But, of course, when I suggest a trade, I do look to try to make it a trade that would have value to both sides. But almost, like, 95% of the time, in fact, probably 99% of the time, when we get the response back, it's like, no, I'm not going to make that trade. And yet I look at their roster and I'm like, well, if I gave you a running back and you gave me a wide receiver, we would suddenly both be better off, in my opinion. But that doesn't happen. And then when you get a trade, for the most part, it's like, I'll take Devontae Freeman and I will give you...
Ben Watson,
yeah,
exactly. And they do this. Like, if they have a guy like a Ben Watson over the big week, they'll ask you for like a Jeremy Hill who's been struggling, but you still know that's never equal value. And you know, they offer it to you, you know, and people, even when you offer trades that you seem are fair, nobody ever seems to be willing to negotiate. They never come back with a counter offer or anything like that. They just shut it right down. Even if you think it's fair and even if they don't like it, they just shut it right down. That to me is frustrating, because how can you start a dialogue and try and find a trade that's good for both teams? But yeah, when people offer these completely lopsided trades, that really pisses me off, to be honest with you, because that's where I say to you, okay, let's go back. Like, if they offered, like, say, we're not even talking that lopsided, but say they offered Rashard Jennings for Brandon Marshall. That's not an even trade. But you look at draft position, it's not crazy and everything, but it's not an even trade. You wouldn't do it. So, I mean, and everybody knows it, and they're trying to rip you off. That's when I'll come back and say, well, why don't we ask them for their Rodgers for our kicker. Like, that's my passive-aggressive move, to come back with one that's even more crazy and counter-offer. So that's kind of my move on that. The other thing, complaint, is when you do have what you think is a fair trade, both teams want to make it, and other people in the league are blocking it. And I know they want to stop collusion, and it's a difficult thing, but sometimes it's like you can't protect people from their own stupidity too much. If a person says yes, like, it's, you have to trust at some point. It's not collusion. It's just a person who wants to make that trade for whatever reason they think it's right. And when there has to be a better system than the one we have.
Well, and the thing about collusion is usually extraordinarily obvious. Collusion usually is that I'll trade you Devontae Freeman for Ben Watson moment. Not so much, you know, oh, I'll trade you a high-end defense for a mid-range running back.
Yeah, which is a trade I would still make every time, but maybe you would, like, you know, but I, if somebody offered me that, I'll do it every time. But if the other guy thinks that that's good value for him and he really wants that defense, who the hell are the other people to say and get in the way and keep him from being able to make that trade. That to me is not, and again, especially when you get in these money leagues where it's pretty obvious that it's a random draw and people don't know each other, then it's really crazy. So I think they go overboard on it. I would like to see a better system.
It would just be nice to be able to see more people, or in a better way to get people involved in the trading process, as opposed to, because, you know, every league is different, right? Some leagues you can find the message board and you can make a post, and there's easy ways to do it with trades. Some leagues there's not that kind of message board.
Some leagues to try and offer somebody up to everybody and let people know what you want, and you don't have the activity on the board or whatever, it could also be a complete nightmare.
And I think another thing is that there needs to be an easy way for everybody to notice that, because I'll be honest with you, some leagues that we're in, I won't even get a message, and I'll just happen to see, like, later on near the end of the season, oh, this person put up, like, you know, three players for trade and asked for other players, and I didn't even see that in week week six when he offered it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, I think that should be it for this week. You can reach us an email at info@wetalkpodcast.com for this show or for any other show on the We Talk Podcast Network, Facebook/WeTalkPodcast. You can also find us, obviously, at www.wetalkpodcast.com. And Twitter is also at WeTalkPodcast. See if you can see a theme here, folks. And other than that, Brett, is there anything else we want to say?
We'll see you, and we'll beat you.